podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by a returning guest, Charlie Roberts, Chazza, as I like to call him, from the FPL Addicts podcast. How are you doing, my friend?
Good evening to you, Ryan. Once again, thank you very much for having me on. I must be doing a good job with my previous appearances if you decided to call me on board, but I can't wait to discuss what has been a mammoth double game week 34 along with what lies ahead.
Indeed. So we've been just like talking slightly before we started recording, but tell me, how is your game week 34 going and where are you in terms of rank as well, just so the audience know?
Yes, we did. So I'm on 125 points and officially out with no players for the Brighton Man City game. But Captain Blank and Mo Salah, of all people, is similar to what the majority would go for. But the hero of the game, it'd have to be Gianfilippo Mateta from Crystal Palace, ending up on 29 points. It's just incredible what he's managed to do, especially as a budget forward. He's put him right up there in terms of the history books for most points scored by a forward within a double game week. However, I think the Matheus Cunha injury may have been of some assist to some managers.
Yep.
Because if it wasn't for Cunha, who
the
else?
The majority were going for Cunha before that injury.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But I think the fixtures were there, and well done to people that decided to go for him or even put the armband.
Yeah, indeed. I know. I think that FPL tweeted like there were about 900 people who triple captained him and a couple thousand that had just captained him.
Yeah. That's right. And in addition, the overall rank for 8 seasons playing, it's delirium. That's what it is. 26K.
That's huge. That is huge. I think we were saying like push for top 20K and then after that push for try and see push for top 10K as well, possibly.
A top 10K is a major milestone. Yep. A lot of people like to call it. I think a top 20K seems more realistic, but it really all depends on what cards we're dealt with the last 4 game weeks of the season.
Yep, fair enough. And I'm on 104 points with, now that Haaland's not playing, potentially Rico Lewis to come on. Or if not, Reguilón will also come on if Rico Lewis doesn't play. I did put the armband on Saka.
And that's not bad.
Yeah, but I was quite disappointed with him in terms of like a 7 goal overall game for Arsenal and only like 1 assist, which was a bit sad. I had Odegaard though. Now, it was between Saka or Odegaard for me. I wish I ended up putting it on Odegaard, but oh well, it is what it is. But big Jared Branthwaite, who I've owned since game week 16, came in with a clutch 20 pointer. So I'm really happy about that.
I'm really happy for Jared Branthwaite owners because he's really shown not just him as a fantasy asset as cheap price, but who he actually is as a player at Everton, especially within the second half of this year. Let's not forget that goal he scored away at Brighton. He's been a key cog to Sean Dyche's plans. It'll be very intriguing to see where he ends up come next season, but massive congratulations to Branthwaite owners with not just a clean sheet, with 2 clean sheets. That big goal too.
Yeah, and also because I think his ownership was also low given that he had that injury doubt.
He did, yeah. Was he flagged?
Yes, he was flagged. And then the manager was like, we'll see, he's done light training. So I went into the game week with like I just took that light training comment as he's going to play, he's Everton's best centre-back, they need him very badly. And I just took it with, and I started him, so.
I think the Branthwaite Hall would be a big win for non-free hitters because I wouldn't have seen many free hitters that would have gone for him. If it was an Everton defender, it would have been Mikulenko.
Yes.
However, Jordan Pickford certainly was the big choice.
Yeah, I was looking at goalkeeper transfers and it was between him and Henderson, but I didn't really want to double up on Everton defence given the Liverpool fixture.
Yeah.
Now looking at it, obviously it would have been a great haul, but too late now. Okay, Shall we start on the fixtures for this week? Because there are some very interesting fixtures. And just to lay the land, like give the lay of the land, you have a bench boost chip left, no wild card, and I've got a wild card and bench boost, and my wild card is active. We'll discuss our teams at the end, and in terms of moves and everything, and we'll display it as well for those who are watching it on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on audio, we'll read it out as well. So let's start with the game week 35. The first fixture, Liverpool versus West Ham. Now, from a wildcard perspective, I'll start off and say I'm getting rid of all my Liverpool players. But I don't think that's the same luxury that non-wildcarders have. So they kind of need to decide on like what Liverpool players they want to keep or whether they want to kind of keep any. Now, based off the last couple of fixtures, I would say we've seen like a downturn from Liverpool in terms of performance. I don't know if they're just like knackered or if the number of injuries have just caught up to them and now it's just like the squad is like feeling it. Where do you stand on each other?
Liverpool assets for non-wildcard is I would prioritize getting rid of the defenders first than the attackers, because depending how your team's set up, Mo Salah could be worth still staying in your team for another couple of weeks if you feel that he is captain material or you have an intention to captain him, because he's still 14 million. And this is a really good fixture for him and Liverpool in general, because I tend to dominate West Ham and probably Spurs at home, but it's just more of the double game weeks headline. That's what really overrides the worth of holding Liverpool assets. But I think overall in general, it might even be just worth exploring of just getting rid of all of them altogether,
yep,
including Salah.
So, yeah, because I've done a couple of streams in team selections and I've seen a lot of people trying to buy Sun back on not on a wild card. And to do that, they kind of need to sell Salah because they want to buy Sun. They want to buy like the likes of Isak as well, who's like 8 million now. You kind of have to upgrade your striker, right? Because unless you have a Watkins, every other striker you might have, bar Haaland, is you're going upwards in terms of trying to get Isak, not downwards. So they kind of have to make that room for the funds. And that's where they're like, okay, we need to like look at selling Salah.
Yeah, I also feel the context of the situation plays a key role in this, because if it was, for example, the first 15 game weeks of the season where there were no double game weeks at all and managers were just holding or transferring Salah out in general based on his form, it would be very 50-50. But considering it's a run-in along with sides where you could just cash in more points from because of them having two games in a game week, it makes it a little more obvious. Potentially offload Liverpool assets. I think, yeah, as I said, I think none at all may be the way to go forward, because they have a sacrifice path to get to where you need to go.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I probably agree with that. And then West Ham, obviously, I think no one's really looking into West Ham assets at this point.
I think there's certain sides in the league in which for them, along with probably Brentford, Luton, Nottingham Forest, where they don't have doubles. None of their players are really all that firing in form. There is one that doesn't have a double, just plays all singles, but he's so firing in form, which we'll get to, and he's from Aston Villa. But those kind of sides, not particularly. If you wanted to go West Ham, they have a home game against Luton in game week 37. Mm. If you really want to have a punt on Jarrod Bowen in a single game week fixture, however, it's more, which we will get to later in terms of how you're going to fit him in.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, fair enough. So, yeah, can't believe that this could be Salah's last game in my FPL team. I don't know if he'll be here next season. We don't know. And I can't believe it's ending with, like, just 3 points. So, here we are.
It's a bad way to end. But yeah, I know. One of the dominant assets in the game for the last 6 seasons.
Yeah, indeed. So, we'll see. We'll wait and see. Who knows? He might have one more season in him at Liverpool. He might also not have. But that's a conversation for another time. Having said that, another team that's playing next that is a single game week and a lot of people now have them is Crystal Palace. Now, again, this is from a wildcard perspective. No one's looking for Palace players, I think. I think the boat has sailed. It was just that game week. But non-wildcarders have a decision to make because they're kind of firing. From attacking wise, they're doing really well. So there's a question of whether you really want to sell them, because they have Fulham this week, and then in 36, I think they have United, if I'm not mistaken.
Man United at home, and Wolves away from home, then Aston Villa at home to finish it off. So they are a decent set of fixtures. Yes.
I mean, even for 2 weeks, they're not too bad, to be honest. United at home, I mean, we've seen the state of defending from Manchester United. So
I think if you wanted to make a lot, if you, for example, if you got an Isak and you don't feel there's an impulse to go for him early, and you got Mateta. So if you've already got Isak and you've got Mateta, I feel there's warrant in terms of holding Mateta for the next two game weeks because of the form he's in. I think form plays a crucial role, plus how Glasner sets up outside. It is incredibly attacking. They're playing with a lot of freedom.
Yep.
If you, for example, on a non-wild card slash free hit and you want a double Palace attack, it may be worth dropping one of them.
Yeah, fair enough. I think
I'll probably keep Mateta.
Yeah, I probably agree, because even the value, right? He's just 5 million. Not a bad price. And the other thing is he enables everyone else. But when Eze and Olise are playing, Palace are just like really good. We saw last season as well under Roy Hodgson when Eze and Olise were both fit and firing at the end. Like they just attack quite often. So they're looking good for anyone who has them and not wildcarding and or don't have a wildcard left. It's not a bad hold, actually.
I completely agree. Yeah, spot on. I feel the way a side plays at this time of year is important, and in terms of what their ambition is. And with that, we see a lot of sides sort of, they go straight into beach mode because they know they're safe. They just want the games to sort of finish up end of season. But I don't really see that in Crystal Palace. I just feel there's energy in that side. I think Glasner probably came to the club at the right time.
Indeed. Yeah. So we'll see how they do. But I think for people who don't have a wildcard left, these are good differential players to own at this point.
They are. I agree. And you stated earlier, you can't really overlook single game week players.
Yes.
There was one. So Mateta had a double. And if there was a good one, I had a good single game week. That was two players, Bruno Fernandes and also Johan Visser from Brentford.
That's the thing, right? Single game weekers, do not ignore them. Especially this week, the double game weekers, the Chelsea and Spurs, not the best teams on form, actually. We're trying to load up on Chelsea and Spurs, who are not a form team at the moment.
Should we talk about them, actually?
Yeah, let's actually go. Okay, let's start with the Chelsea one, because they play Aston Villa away, and then they play Spurs at home in a London derby. So Aston Villa fighting for top four, probably have it wrapped up, kind of. Spurs, I think there are goals in both sides. In that game, there are goals, I feel like, based on how Spurs defend and based on how Chelsea defend. Let's start with the first. Let's start with Chelsea in general. If you were on a wild card, which three Chelsea players would you look after?
See, this is hard. I think, Palmer's the put your key away type. The second one is a bit up in the air. You could go one of Petrovic or Gusto. However, with Gusto having missed two of Chelsea's last three, that probably gives Petrovic the edge.
Yep.
However, Petrovic, yes, he can get the save points, but do they have that many clean sheets? I think third is Nicholas Jackson. In terms of your top three Chelsea assets, I think going double Chelsea defence, and I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I kind of actually own both Gusto and Petrovic. But now, based on the trend, it might actually be going Nicholas Jackson instead of doubling up down back.
I understand that point, and I guess when we get to my wildcard, you'll see why I've gone double Chelsea defence, just because of what's up front that is available. That's the one thing that's kind of off-putting in terms of Jackson. But then at the same time, we don't know what the status with Gusto as well. If he's out, then I kind of have to switch that about. But that was my only way of like getting triple Chelsea. I was like, double Chelsea defense, fine. I don't mind two defenders, because you have to look at it. You have to look at the Game Week 37 fixture as well. And the 37 fixture, one of them is Forest and Brighton.
They are some good fixtures.
Yeah. While both of them are away, I would say they are both pretty good potentially clean sheet fixtures, given that Forest and Brighton are a bit of a off form at the moment in terms of how they're playing. So I don't mind those two fixtures as well. That's why I was thinking about the double defense, because I have to look at it as each week is now like 25% of the season, basically. So that's one of the reasons I was thinking double defense. But we'll have to wait and see what Poch says in terms of like press conference news. And add to that, we still don't know whether Palmer is going to be fit or not. That's another thing.
Yeah, it's sort of throwing game week 35 wildcard as a bit of a spanner in the works all of a sudden. Yeah. However, I feel you would still include Palmer in your team regardless.
Yes. If he's out, I'll just like, I'll probably still start him because there's a possibility he plays the second game at least. I just probably won't give him the armband.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Chelsea. I guess we'll talk about Jackson and all when we kind of get slightly more into our teams and drafts and whatnot, because there is questions with regards to the forwards that you can pick. But the other double gaming team is Spurs. Now, again, just like Chelsea, apart from like where Chelsea, you go Palmer is a standout and you want Palmer and everyone else is very questionable. Spurs are in a very similar boat. You want Heung-min Son. Everyone else, is, I feel like it's a very bit of like it's a questionable move. We don't know what's happening with Charleston. Doggy's out for the season. Poro is flagged, and we don't know what's the status with him as well. I guess you can go Timo Werner, or you could go Brennan Johnson.
I think it's Brennan Johnson. Yeah. I really like what he's delivering recently. From what I heard, pretty sure it's 11 attacking returns in the last 14 game weeks for 5.8 million mid. That's quite impressive. I actually think he might be that second choice Tottenham
the player
asset we may be looking for. It's just, as we'll refer to the template later in this video, is a question of where does he fit in? Well, I actually think it's worth going a second Tottenham midfielder to an extent, because there's goals in each, in whatever game they're playing. They score goals a lot.
Yeah. Would you go three Spurs players, or is that overkill given the fixtures?
I think that may be an overkill. If you're going one attacker, one defender, I wouldn't add a second defender or Vicario. But if you're got Johnson and Son and you want to add a third, I could understand putting a defender in. It's just more of a doubling up prioritization. You'd rather go in attack instead of defense because that's where their upside is.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I probably agree with that. I think the double attack is slightly more of a priority. I've got only Son at the moment. I'm still wondering where to go in that second Spurs because it's like the fixtures aren't convincing. Then they got Liverpool next week as well, which I might even potentially bench Heung-min Son for that game week, depending on the situation.
I think timing will play a big role because of that second Tottenham player. So they've got Chelsea, they've got Arsenal, they've got Liverpool. And then they've got Burnley, Man City and Sheffield United to end the season. I actually think just prior to that game week 37 deadline, that's when you try and invest into that second Tottenham player.
See, that's the thing, right? But then that's why I'm like, oh, do you want to do that like slightly earlier? Because you get the other double as well. But then we don't know. Like, because if Richarlison was fit, I think he stands out as that second Tottenham player that we all want. But because he's not fit and we don't know what's the status with him now, Ange might come out and say in the press conference later that, oh, he could be available, whatnot. So we kind of had to wait and see. But at the moment, I think Brennan Johnson is the tempting pick to go for.
I think so.
Yep. Defense, is it just Vicario or would you look at, let's say Pedro Porro is out, would you look at like Van de Ven even, potentially?
I think Van de Ven may be the pick in terms of cheap options. I was wondering, Ben Davies?
Yes, 4.3.
He could be in the mix. I just want to watch him start first before even considering him.
Yeah, true. I was listening to Above Average FPL and Baker did a Spurs pod where I think they got a guy from The Athletic as well. And they mentioned Ben Davies as well, potentially. But then they also mentioned there's a possibility that Ange plays like Emerson Royal.
He's another one that actually could be of good use. I think if he somehow features in that Burnley home game, he could go for a whopping double-digit haul.
Yes.
A kind of random player that would just do that.
This is why that 37, that's, I guess this is why it goes back to, like you said, maybe probably invest in that second Spurs player in 37 rather than now.
I agree.
Yep. All right. We will see how that goes. Now, obviously, those are the two double teams. Let's go to another team that doubles in 37. That's Manchester United. So Burnley this week, we saw Bruno Fernandes with an 18-pointer haul. He's in my team without a doubt. Even without that 18-pointer, he was in my team. But that's probably all I kind of want. I have got a double up, but I've gone for Diogo Dalot at the moment. I know a lot of people will be looking at Onana potentially if they're looking to bench boost. What do you think?
I mean, Bruno, based on his current form, is astonishing. I mean, it's back-to-back to double-digit hauls, 18 points at home to Sheffield United. When you look at that on paper, big points are there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how many managers went down that path. Heavily ignored.
Yeah.
I got no doubts of it. The second one's a funny one. I would say Garnacho, but is double Man United in midfield an overkill when we've got all these fantastic midfield options from sides that have got a double in 37? My second one, if it was out of that, it would go Onana. But now that I've seen him finally score for the first time in a while, Rasmus Højlund, yes. Maybe.
See, this is where I've gone for two United on the wildcard and not three. I've left that third spot open for Rasmus Højlund, potentially, but that's in 37, not now itself. Because that midfield five that I have, I feel like it's like, what's the word? I feel like it's too strong to kind of replace.
It's the template?
Yes. Basically, it's going to be the template. It's not the template just yet, but it will be the template going forward. And I feel like, you look at each of those players individually, and this will be where you, when you mentioned double United midfield, I think that might also be overkill, because is Garnacho better than a Palmer? No. Is Garnacho better than Heung-min Son? No. Is Garnacho better than a Phil Foden? No. Garnacho better than Bruno? No. Is Garnacho better than even Gordon?
Probably. That's a question. That would be the ultimate sacrifice in terms of a player that you may transfer out just trying to accommodate Garnacho.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't. I don't know. I can't bring myself to that idea, to be fair.
Yeah.
And especially with Anthony Gordon's home form, I think he's the best player to perform from his own matches.
Yeah.
Having an asset in the game this season.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, and also like every other player that we've just spoken about, all of them have like, except for Foden maybe, everyone else is 90 minutes. In terms of players, Garnacho is not at the moment not a fully 90-minute player as well. He's recently been subbed off pretty early in the last few games. Okay, so that's United. Let's talk about one more thing. Defense. Is it Onana or I think it's Labadez now? Maguire has scored two goals. Another possible option.
I've not considered Harry Maguire, and I won't say no to him completely because he starts most of the time.
Yeah, I think the price tag is what's kind of 4.2 or something.
I think Dalot may have more upside.
Yeah, which is why I've gone there.
Yeah. Onana's a funny one, but I think at home to Burnley is a good fixture for him.
Mm.
I mean, United did win at Turf Moor 1-0, and that was his first clean sheet of a club.
I've just gone that we are not going to keep any clean sheets. And I'm like...
Where are you going to?
That's why I've gone for like Dalot, because of that attacking threat. I've just accepted the fact that there's no clean sheets coming from any of the games, and I'm just going to go attacking threat. And take it.
Another double game week side, I think it's worth touching on. It was from one of the questions on Twitter. I'm not sure, because this is a freestyle. We don't have a run sheet.
Yeah.
Fit it in. Callum Wilson... Coming back into Newcastle, how would that affect Alexander Isak in your perspective?
Now, I think Isak is still first choice. I don't see him being dropped for any of the fixtures. Like last time, Newcastle, but like they had a lot of fixtures and they had to rotate and manage minutes and whatnot. I don't think Newcastle have that issue as much this time. I think Callum Wilson will slowly get a few minutes here and there, but I still think Isak is just first choice. I don't think that's... And like last time, there was a question mark over that. We saw like Isak getting rotated and whatnot. This time I'm like, yeah, I'm just more confident on Isak. Also because of the form he's in. If he wasn't on form, then maybe Eddie Howe has a bit of more pressure on him as well to kind of like give Wilson a bit more minutes. Because Wilson was scoring last season. This season, I think I'm okay with Isak. What do you think?
No, I'm in agreement with you. Despite his blank last night and them being at home to Sheffield United on Saturday, I think he's still right up there in terms of a top priority of a player to get into your side.
Yeah.
With Callum Wilson, I'm in agreement. I'm not sure if it was you or someone else that mentioned earlier on that I think Wilson starts in game week 38 when there's not much at stake.
Yeah.
But I think for the last three or four games before that, Isak does. In addition, what plays a big role to this is not just Wilson coming back from an injury, but his injury record in previous years. It is quite bad.
Yep.
So I think Howe will look at it from a long-term perspective of trying to get him fit and firing for next season as opposed to getting more minutes under his belt for the last for running.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I'm confident with like Isak. But apart from Isak, I guess Anthony Gordon, right?
Yeah.
His home record is astonishing. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd want to have him in your team.
Yeah. That's the thing. And, okay, so we're going with double Newcastle attack. Defense. Dubravka is an option. Cheap goalkeeper.
Yeah, Pope, I feel, could be a threat. I think
wasn't there news that Pope is like out for the rest of the season?
He could well be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you've already used all your chips and you have to ride Dubravka out till the end, then fair enough.
Yep.
But if you're on a wild card, the safe pick right now is Fabian Scher. However, the asset with more upside, it's just a shame he's injured right now, it's Kieran Trippier.
Yes.
I think he could produce a monster haul to end the season.
Yeah, fair enough. The thing is, because of his injury, I'm just not going there.
I'm with you too.
I'm going to go with Fabian Scher just because, you know, Fabian Scher is capable of, we've seen his attacking threat, right? We know his attacking threat. He tends to sometimes take free kicks as well for some reasons, like long range outside the box ones. So he's very well capable of like scoring as well. So I'm on Fabian Scher. Pierce would have been nice, but unfortunately injured and just don't want to go there at the moment. Dan Byrne is a cheaper alternative for those who can't afford.
Did he score against Tottenham along with Fabian Scher?
Yeah, when both of them scored. Yes.
He got a clean sheet away at Fulham and he somehow got 13 points at home to Tottenham, which, what can I say? A bit of slice luck.
Yeah. So I think Fabian Scher is probably the one that everyone's like looking at. And then obviously Dan Byrne for those who can't afford Fabian Scher as well. Yeah. But if you were to prioritize like on a non-wild card, and if you had like, would you take a hit for a Newcastle player? And if so, which Newcastle player? Assume you have no one.
I would probably go Isak.
Yeah.
Then Gordon. I would avoid taking a hit for a Newcastle defender in general, unless it's heading into their double game week 37.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Makes sense. Yeah. So I guess, would Isak be, here's the next question. Let's say you have Palmer, but you don't have Sun. You're going to use your free transfer to get Sun or something. Would you take that hit for Isak over another double, like any of the other doubles that we've kind of not, that we've mentioned, like within...
Are you talking about from Chelsea, Spurs?
Chelsea, Spurs, yes.
Negative 4 at home to Sheffield United over those two.
Because we've all... Let's say you already have Palmer, but you... Using your free transfer, you're using the free transfer to get Sun in. So you've got the two main assets from both.
And
teams.
You want to take a striker out, and you're thinking of bringing in Jackson on a hit. Is that right?
No,
Isak, I meant.
Isak, yeah. Would you bring Isak or would you bring Jackson on a hit?
A Jackson on a -4 hit for some reason doesn't sit well with me, despite him scoring a hat trick against 9 men Tottenham earlier in the season. And then Tottenham don't have it. Striker in that position in the gap.
Timo Werner.
Because Kane left for Bayern Munich.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they have Timo Werner, but yeah.
Timo Werner, forgot he was a striker.
So you don't even think about it.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's just a lack of relevance for Timo Werner. I wouldn't take a hit for Werner or Jackson. I might do for Isak, yeah. But I'd also be thinking about if you're trying to conserve in terms of how many points it should take, you could always wait till next week. Because even better, Newcastle are away at Burnley after Sheffield United at home.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. And then I guess the final double game week team that's playing in 37 actually is City. Now, City have a very interesting situation because...
No, actually, we will talk about them, but there's also Brighton too.
Oh, yes. I've just completely written off Brighton. Let's just talk about Brighton. I've written off Brighton.
Yeah, sure. Do we want to talk about them first?
Yeah, let's talk about them because they're a team that they have affordable enabling players.
They do.
But I've written them off because they're just not doing anything. Like, they're not keeping clean sheets. They're not attacking.
Do we go there? I think Van Heck might be a reasonable enabler down back. If there's someone that could score a genuine bullet header, it's Lewis Dunk.
Yes. But they got Newcastle and Chelsea in the double.
Yeah. I'll tell you who could actually profit okay. Pascal Gross.
True. But where
does he fit in that template?
Exactly. It's the same thing like Garnacho. Where do you put Pascal Gross in the midfield five?
And then up front, he's just rotation prone. But I actually like him, João Pedro.
Mm, penalties.
Yeah.
I think if people are looking for a very cheap budget striker who has a double game week, then he's the guy.
Yeah, for the service of a bench boost, I think he's on the money.
Yeah. Apart from that, I wouldn't look at any Brighton, not even the goalkeeper.
No, I agree, unfortunately.
Yeah, because they got Bournemouth this week. Then they have Aston Villa in 36, Newcastle, Chelsea, and United. I just think they're going to lose every single game.
Let's start talking about Man City, I reckon.
Yeah, they're not, okay, let's go to City. Now, Ireland... is injured at least for 34. We're recording this before the City game. Do you think he features? Like, it's like 2 days or 3 days. Like, they're playing today, Friday. So, it's just two days rest before the next
game. I don't think he features at all against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even 2 days rest, actually. Oh, no, it is like 2 days rest. Yeah, effectively.
Yeah, so they're playing on Sunday and it's a Thursday. But they have a reasonable break after the FA Cup.
Yes.
Saturday.
Yeah.
It's something going on with Erling Haaland. I don't know what it is. I think he'll be all right for Wolves and then maybe that double game with 37. But it's so strange because I don't reckon he's even a captain option. It's just people own him.
Yeah.
People fear not owning him.
Yes, that's the thing.
Which is incredibly bizarre. I think for wildcarders, it's a great opportunity to potentially go different.
Yeah.
My question is that who do you go to? I presume most people would have Isak.
Yeah.
Then the third one's sort of up in the air. You could even interchange that with Nolly Watkins from Aston Villa.
This is where I think the Jackson topic comes into play.
Maybe Jackson.
Because I look at Jackson as a third striker and not the second striker at the moment. At least that's my personal preference.
Like, no, that's good.
In terms of how I look at...
Can you go without Haaland on a wild card?
I think there is a case to be made. We'll see what Pep says. Pep is not really going to say much, to be honest. But if he still says, we'll see about Haaland, I think there is a case to be made to potentially sell Haaland. Because, how is he going to recover from, 2 days rest from Brighton to Forest?
It's very unlikely. Which is on Sunday, let's face it. I think it's important to... This is where getting players who play are nailed and can actually... produce returns come in handy.
Yeah. Now, I was anyway going to bench Haaland this week, potentially.
Yeah, right.
Even if he was okay. I was looking at benching him because I was thinking of starting Foden over him. But then, now, if he's just going to be out, and then we don't know. This is the thing with Pep. We don't know because they don't have anything else to play for. It's just the league.
Yeah.
So... there's no real reason to rest him as well, per se, unless he's proper injured.
My question is, I know I've got a league at stake, is does what sort of enthusiasm does Pep have behind him in terms of playing Haaland in fixtures at he's fit, but he's actually not fit until the end of the season. The next time we'll see him fully fit is start of next season.
Yeah, probably. But then he's chasing for the golden boot, right? Surely as a striker, he would want to win that as well.
Yeah, you think that too. Yeah. It's a fair shout.
Yeah. Have fun with Haaland. I don't know what to do exactly.
Yeah. Kevin De Bruyne, I think we should talk about him.
Yes, we shall.
Now, who's going to be a third City player? Is it going to be him or City defender? That's a question.
The Foden, without a doubt, gets in there.
Just gets in there, yeah. I think so. He's been the best City player this year. I don't think Haaland has been at all.
Yep. Now, let's just assume... Okay, let's just save a spot for Haaland for the moment. Just because it's up in the air and we don't know until Pep says whatever he says. So that third City player, do you go KDB, who has a very valid shout to actually break that and enter that template five that we mentioned earlier?
Yes. Should we go through each of the players again and see who's actually better?
So the template five, you start off with the two doubles this week in Sun and Palmer. You probably don't get KDB just because those two have a double just this week.
Yeah.
And they also have a double in 37. So those two effectively just make your team because of the sheer number of doubles. Then you go to a Bruno Fernandes, who... That's a tough one. I would say...
I think we like variety and covering all certain elements of different teams.
I would get Bruno in. Just because you're not going to look at another United attacker, potentially, unless you go
That's
to Rasmus Højlund.
I actually think that. I agree. Okay.
And I would say he's more minutes nailed on penalties, all of that. So I think that slightly edges Bruno over KDB at the moment.
Yeah. Gordon.
Gordon. Now, Gordon. Okay, let's see. The Gordon and Phil Foden. Phil Foden gets in there, right?
Yeah, Phil Foden's already in there.
It's basically Gordon. Now, Gordon is on some insane form. Obviously, the only thing is his insane form is at home. And they got Sheffield United this week, so you kind of probably want him. And then one of the doubles is against Brighton.
Yeah.
At home. So...
I don't know. It might actually be worth just going to City defender.
Yes. Probably. The other thing is, I've bought KDB before in Game Week 25. And I regretted that move. Was one of the worst. I put that down as I thought that was one of the worst moves. I think that's probably still one of the worst moves, or probably the worst move I've done this season. The second worst move is I went and bought VVD, who did absolutely jack all in Game Week 30. So that was my second worst move this season. But I've put KDB down as like one of my worst moves I've done, because I took a hit to get him in. I also took a hit to kind of sell him out, and he did nothing. And in that due time, I also missed out on like hauls elsewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So I don't know. KDB is never guaranteed 90 minutes as well, even though we know what he's capable of.
Yeah, because of his injury.
Yeah, but he is a differential, and he's a very strong differential punt.
100%. Very strong.
Yeah. I think he's the closest midfielder who has a case to be made to try and enter that five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the defenders, where do you go? Do you go Ederson? Or do you think that
I actually think it's hard. I think Edison's certainly the safe bet.
Mm.
Probably the safe bet in terms of all of the other goalkeeper options. Because he's so dynamic in Guardiola's game style. I'm not sure you'd say the same for the other keepers from other clubs. But defense, I actually think it's, despite that, I think it might be worth just to go for either Petrovic or maybe an Onana or someone that still has a single game week and has a double later.
Yeah.
So my top two City defenders, or let's make a top three. I'll go Kanji, Vardial, Rico Lewis.
Okay.
That's my top three in terms of how nailed these City defenders are as of now.
Okay, fair enough.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I probably would, because Nathan Ake can rotate with Guardiola. We've seen it.
Yeah.
Kanji probably... plays the most minutes, but he also times good now that Johnstone is back. Could rotate slightly. And Rico Lewis is like only when like Pep needs to rotate someone else that Rico Lewis plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it worth going in?
I think there is potential. Because I look at, we'll talk about like there are other defenders who are available, right? Spurs and Chelsea don't really scream clean sheets.
No, you still have a City defender despite a lack of how short.
Yeah, and we want Fabian Cher.
Correct.
And then you're looking at, I've gone Diogo Dalot as United defense, but I will never double up on United defense. So either you go Onana or you go Dalot or you go Maguire, only just one. So you leave that like goalkeeper spot open or you leave a defensive spot open for either. And then I think we'll get to Arsenal next because they don't have a double, but their defense is elite.
Yeah.
So I think there is room for a City defender. I also think there is a potential situation where, which I have been toying with and I'll get to, of having a single gimmick player and then when you get to 37, if you have two free transfers, taking your best guess on which City defender you think will start and just playing that defender.
Yeah.
Depending on league state. Now, I think this a lot of City's FPL assets fully relies on Arsenal's ability to push them right till the end. Because now I've Liverpool are out of the title race.
They are.
Yeah, they're completely gone. So that kind of takes a bit more pressure off City. So that's not good for FPL because that if as long as Arsenal can keep pushing City, Pep will continue have like he will have to play his strongest team. Because he can't afford to drop off. But if Arsenal do lose one game and then that is before 37, we're screwed. Because then it's rotation central for Pep. That's the problem. So we'll have to wait and see. But I do prefer, I would slightly potentially prefer even the City, like the defenders over Ederson, because I feel like Ortega could occasionally get like a one game somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's talk about Arsenal.
It's just more, if you're on a wild card, how much of it do you carry? And I actually put this in my top points.
Yeah.
I think there's, so if you're on a Gabriel Saliba double up in defense, I think it may be important to get rid of one of them, regrettably.
Fair enough. Okay.
Despite how good their clean sheets would be.
Yeah.
So if you've got Gabriel Saliba, Saka, and you're onto a wild card, do you keep all three?
No, Saka is gone. His farm isn't good enough.
Are you just Saka gone? That's it.
Yeah, I've sold Saka.
I think
already.
So now too. Yeah. So it's probably two defenders or one defender plus.
Yeah.
If
I wanted to keep an Arsenal attacker, it would only be either Havertz or Odegaard.
I actually think Havertz is a more upside player. But I think for consistency and in terms of his role within that team, Odegaard's probably the better pick.
Yes, I would say both him and... So Arsenal, when you watch Arsenal play, they don't play with a number with a number nine per se. But they play with two, I would say, how do I put this? I don't know if it's a false nine or they play like two tens. You would see Havertz and Odegaard, when you see them press, it's Havertz and Odegaard up front. They're the most front-playing players for Arsenal, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you've got the two wingers in Saka and Trossard or Martinelli or whoever's on that side.
Yeah, I was just curious to know, did anyone actually ever go for Leandro Trossard on a free hit? Because he would have been a good pick.
He would have, but I don't know if anyone went. Not really
I don't
sure.
Think anyone did because of this lack of assured starts. However, we'll see how I think arguably he's the most important player in that Arteta side.
Mm.
Along with Odegaard.
Yeah.
But was it Havertz? Probably Havertz. I don't know.
So this is the thing, right? If I wanted Arsenal attacker, it'll be only one of those two, but then it comes back to the doubles. The remaining like five players we mentioned along with KDB all have doubles, but and all of them have ability to score. Whereas we get to the defense, the defenders we're talking about don't have the ability to keep clean sheets per se.
Yeah.
Apart from Arsenal, who are single game because so that raises the question. You mentioned selling both like one of Saliba or Gabriel. But, like, who do we want in that defense? Like, our defense, apart from Fabian Scher, let's say your five defenders, you have Fabian Scher as one. You potentially maybe have a City defender? Maybe?
Yeah,
you
could.
You will have one Arsenal defender at least.
Yeah, I actually think it might be easy to hold on to the defense because of the lack of a short option in defense from the doubling teams.
Yeah, and then those last two spots are like maybe
it's
it's
probably where the point of difference come from more now, the defense as opposed to the midfield or attack.
Yeah, because the defense is where it's all like open to interpretation in terms of how do you judge teams and whatnot. This is where when you get to my wildcard as well. I've got a few single game makers, and that's why I have like Arsenal because I still think Arsenal's. Because, I mean, a lot of us are focusing on the doubles. We look at the non double weeks in 36 and 38. Arsenal have Bournemouth
at home.
Yeah, and Everton at home.
Yeah, I think if you had an Odegaard in your side, I wouldn't get rid of him now. I'd wait before double game week 37. You keep him for Tottenham away. I think that's actually a good fixture for him. And Bournemouth at home, absolutely. He's got a really good record against Bournemouth. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? So there's no for those who are wildcarding, they probably look to sell. But those who are not wildcarding, I think you just keep. And then before 37, you can look to sell. Cool. I think that's... Wolves. You want to touch on Wolves?
Yeah. Just briefly. So they're home to Luton. Some are on Aitnori. And it might actually be worth holding on to him considering how the lack of options in defence we have in general, especially for the double game week sides at the moment. But I feel that if you've got them now, you'll probably be bookmarking a transfer anyways to get rid of them, probably in game week 36 when they go away to Man City. However, that home at Luton game is certainly a fixture worth holding for because Luton have conceded the most goals away from home this season.
Yep.
Good for Mateus Cunha, despite his injury, he started against Bournemouth, hit the woodwork.
Yeah.
He didn't start at all against Arsenal.
Yeah.
But he, I don't know, could be a player worth holding on to for one more week.
Fair enough. One to watch, I guess, depending on our press conference news.
Yeah, that's correct.
Cool. Let's move over to your bus team. So let me bring this up. Basically, your bus team, and I'm going to read it out for those who are listening on the audio. Got Petrovic in goal. Got Fabian Scher, Gusto, Gabriel, Heung-Min Son, Anthony Gordon, Salah, Foden, Palmer, Haaland, Solanke. And on the bench, you got Onana, Muniz, Aitnori, and Van Hek. Now, you don't have a wild card. Have you made your transfers already?
I haven't yet. I'll probably usually do it on my pod.
Yep.
Live, which is the FPL Addicts, in case people want to know, because it's sort of at the same time as the press conference. But my plan for this week, I have debated in terms of whether I roll and I keep Salah, but it's just more when I look at all the game weeks the rest of the season, where am I going to captain Salah? Here's why. It's probably going to be Cole Palmer 35.
Yes.
Game week 36, if he's fit enough, Erling Haaland or I feel Foden. 37, I think, would be a Son. And game week 38 away at Sheffield would be a Son. So that makes holding Salah as an option right now really redundant. And I think it's worth getting rid. So it's Salah to Bruyne.
So it's Salah to De Bruyne or?
Salah to Bruno Fernandes.
Bruno Fernandes. Yep, fair enough. Makes sense.
Yeah. I think that just makes a lot of sense. And then from there,
would you take a hit?
The free transfer next week, I was thinking of Muniz up to Alexander Isak because my plan is to have 14 double game week players with a hit, but the single game week player is Solanke. And in that week of double 37, he's at home to Brentford, which I actually think is a good fixture for him.
Would you, now that with the Haaland news, right? Let's say Haaland is potentially out. Would you do the Muniz to Isak this week for a hit?
I haven't considered it, but I actually think Muniz at home to Crystal Palace isn't a bad fixture itself. Considering he got the assist, their only goal in their 3-1 home defeat against Liverpool.
Yep, fair enough. He's capable of getting a goal as well.
Yep.
Okay, and now I'll bring up my wildcard team.
Yes.
And my wildcard team basically has Petrovic in goal. Gusto, Guardiola, and Shah. Actually, I'll read my from like defense to attack. So Petrovic and Rea are my two goalkeepers. I've got Gusto, Guardiola, Shah, Diego Dalot, and Gabriel as the five defenders. I've got the template midfield in terms of San, Palmer, Bruno, Gordon, and Foden. And up front, I've got Haaland for the moment. I've got Isak, and I've got Watkins.
I like the Watkins shout big time.
And we haven't spoken about Aston Villa, but you mentioned, you touched on it before in terms of you hinted at Watkins. What's your thoughts on Watkins?
I personally like it only because there's a lack of reliable alternative options for strikers who have a double game week coming up for most respective sides. And with Haaland injured, it opens another window of opportunity. I think Watkins, whenever we doubt him, he continuously proves us wrong. He just finds a way to score. He's got what would be 20 points since he recovered from his short-term injury, which ruled him out away at Man City. He's just punished us.
Yep.
So I think the Watkins is a really good move. I actually think Chelsea, both Chelsea, Brighton, Palace are in fantastic fixtures for him to carry on.
Yep.
The Liverpool one might prove tough, but the way Liverpool are going, he could score in that as well.
And I think ever since people like sold him on his supposedly hard run from, let's say, 31 onwards, so 31 he didn't play because he was injured. 32 he played against Brentford, 13 points. 7 points against Arsenal and 9 points against Bournemouth.
Oh, yeah, that's 29 points, yeah.
I think that's probably, I don't know what Isak's total is, but I think he's outscored nearly every other forward then in that short space of time.
I mean, what can you say? There's nothing that Ollie really needs to prove us. Exactly. Now.
So this is where I have the, now here's the question I'm going to ask you. This team has only one Spurs attacker in Heung-min Son, no other Spurs players. Now Gusto, we don't know what is going to be, what's going to happen to him. If Gusto is injured, I think I might replace Gusto with Van de Ven as that Spurs defender. But we mentioned about Brennan Johnson. Would it, this is where I'm wondering, who do I bring Brennan Johnson in for? Do I drop?
Yeah, I think Brennan Johnson of all options is the second best. Yeah. But with that midfield, I don't think he gets in. So I actually wouldn't be bothered adding on to anyone from Tottenham now.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you could, if you want to keep your double, you can go Gabriel to Spurs defender, but doing it right now I think is a genuine trap because statistically, Arsenal have a far better defence than Tottenham.
Yep. And I've got so much value tied up in Gabriel. Now, I have Gabriel on the bench here, but that's purely just playing the fixture and assuming that Spurs will get at least one, but even then, that's not confirmed.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where he fits into this team. It's so harsh trying to put him in third slot, but I actually think
he could be even second slot. I've just, like, I haven't sorted that out yet.
Yeah, but I actually think that might be the correct position for him in this instance. Maybe him in for Vardiol.
Possibly.
Because City did concede at the City Ground last year.
Yep. That is a possibility. And Guardiola, we don't know if he'll even start this game.
Yeah, but also Tottenham score every game.
Yeah, so.
But you have more confidence in starting Gabriel over Vardiol.
Yes.
Do you?
You mean in terms of points return or in terms of minutes starting?
Points.
Points, I think I would punt on Guardiola in the ability to keep a clean sheet. Just because I think that Spurs will find a way to score. I don't know if they will score, but I think they have a good chance of, like, based on their playstyle, I think they'll have a good chance of getting something.
Yeah.
Now, this is where we come to the number of Arsenal assets you want to own. And I go, I've got two Arsenal assets in Rea and Gabriel. Now, Gabriel, I guess based on just the number of defenders that we wanted, like every other defender there is a double game maker except for Gabriel. And I think I can't find another double game maker that I want over Gabriel.
So I'm looking at this.
Yeah.
And considering his fixtures up against Petrovic's.
Yeah.
Maybe it might not be worth having David Raya on this team overall. Because you're in a bit of a fixture conundrum come next week with Petrovic.
I would start Rea. I would start Rea in 36 and 38.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And you wouldn't take Rea out for double game with goalkeeper?
I haven't thought that yet. I have kind of considered the fact that there's a high possibility that United don't score against Arsenal. Having said that, I will counter that with the fact that I think we've scored like 2 goals roughly since the start of the year in every game. There is a possibility that United do score because they had Old Trafford as well.
Mm.
And United, for some reason, in the last few games we played Arsenal, we found a way to try and get a goal.
You guys match up against us really well at Old Trafford.
Yeah. So maybe I do look to move Rea out. But even if I was to look to move Rea out, to Vicario maybe, during that time.
Mm.
He's got Burnley, I think.
Yeah, in 37, that will make sense, but not at the moment.
No, not at the moment. And the thing is, because in 37, he's got Burnley, which could be a decent fixture. Man City's are going to be a hard one. But then he has 38 years Sheffield United, which is not too bad.
Yeah, that's a good fixture for Spurs. I actually think they could win that game 5-0.
But like 36, Rea beats Vicario easily. Vicario has beat Liverpool.
100%.
Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't decided it yet. We'll see. A case could be made where I go Ederson as well instead of David Rea, but I feel like that's way too expensive. I think Ederson is like significantly expensive.
Yeah.
I could go Onana as well, but then I mentioned already that I feel like when I'm going to keep a clean sheet, and I feel like Diego Dalot has at least some attacking upside compared to Onana's ability to keep save points and clean sheets.
Yeah.
That's why. And then the final point is Jackson. If Haaland is out, I guess that's where we talk, do you get Jackson in? Or even Watkins as the third striker. But who would I bench this week to like start Jackson? Tough questions. Is Jackson any good with 2 fixtures?
I'd start Jackson, to be honest.
You'd start him or you wouldn't start him?
I would.
Oh, okay. Over who though?
Wouldn't? In terms of, say, if you took Haaland out.
Yeah.
Or... And I'm looking at his whole midfield.
Yeah. Oh, even the forward line, but like...
Yeah, I probably wouldn't take anyone out for long. If this is going to sound incredibly ridiculous,
yeah,
but maybe benching Phil Foden.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've thought about for Jackson. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the only way I can look at like justifying bringing in Jackson and playing him.
Yeah, that's probably the only way.
What a world we live in.
Honestly, Jackson, the next Darwin Nunes, we've seen it all before.
So we'll wait and see what Pep says with regards to Haaland. But if Haaland is out, and if I really wanted to play the upside, that's probably the only way. I will add though, Spurs are weak centrally, defensively, so there is a chance for him to do well. But oh my god, he's not good.
So it feels long ago that we actually used to. Well, I'm not sure if you did, but the majority of us managers used the triple captain on Haaland, and he still somehow found a way to return 10 points.
Yep.
That's which isn't bad, but we've seen the previous hauls.
Yeah.
We can do better.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. All right. Now, captaincy.
I thought about this.
Mm.
Okay. I think Salah away at West Ham is a very good fixture, but based on his form... Do we have the guts, determination, faith to back the Egyptian at the moment?
Cole Palmer, right? Over the doubles.
2 games, in form.
Yeah.
You're having a laugh. I actually think it's Cole Palmer. Sean Son's a shout.
Yeah. If Palmer was out, if Palmer was playing only 1 game, then is it Heung-min Son? Because you have to still...
I mean, they're both good fixtures for him because he scored away at Arsenal early in the season. And... I think he blanked at home to Chelsea, but seeing how vulnerable Chelsea are, that's good for him.
Yeah. Is there any other outside punt? Maybe Isak against Sheffield United?
Isak against Sheffield, a good shout. Anthony Gordon, maybe.
Yep. Fair enough.
But maybe Bruno Fernandes.
Would be, possibly.
Maybe, I don't know.
But I feel like I prefer the Isak one slightly a bit more because I think
yeah, I agree.
Sheffield
yeah,
United are a worse team than... I think Burnley are a decent team, even though they're going down.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably still Palmer and Heung-min Son, right? As the more favourable options.
Oh, big time. I think Palmer's going to be the most popular.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's basically it. Before we go, I have one question from the community, which is from my Cayman fan, Matt. And he basically, I guess we kind of answered this before, and I think you brought it up as well. With Newcastle's Wilson getting minutes against Palace, is it worth bringing him into our squads?
Callum Wilson?
Yeah.
If you're chasing a mini league and you're genuine, potentially lethal differential,
yeah,
do it. I actually think it might be worth a pump, but overall, no.
Yeah, fair enough.
But Callum Wilson?
Even if you're chasing a mini league, I probably might look at somewhere else just because of the minutes.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I think if you're chasing a mini league, you go and get someone like a Jackson.
Nicholas Jackson.
Or you go for a Watkins. I feel like the Watkins is a very differential punt at the moment.
Yes, I actually think that's a great call.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the question we had. And for those of you who are watching on the YouTube video as well, if you reached to this point, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe as well, and ask any questions in the comments as well. Chazza, anything to plug?
Yes, I would happily do so. It's the FPL Addicts podcast where we do our live stream every Friday. In addition, you'll see me do my very best to produce content on a weekly basis where we go through the recent results and the players that stood out, players to avoid, along with just brief names thrown around a hat and the fireball of captaincy on a weekly basis. So, yes, catch us. We usually do a live stream on YouTube on Friday, 9 p.m. Australia time and midday UK time.
Indeed. And you can find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. And both of us can be found on X as well, handles on the video. That's for Chazza. It's basically Chazza Roberts. And for mine, it's Ryan_MS28. Thank you all for watching. Make sure you hit the like button, hit the subscribe button as well. I'll be back after game week 35. Yes, game week 35. Looking ahead to game week 36. And I've got a very special guest as well for that one as well. So make sure to stay tuned for that. Thank you all for watching. Make sure to comment. I'll reply to any comments as well. And I'll see you all later. Green arrows all.